You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
The Murray Health Authority is it took legal effect on the 1st of July, so just a few days ago. It's a separate, independent government agency, department, separate from the Ministry of Health and separate from Health New Zealand, which is taking over the roles of district health boards. What it's responsible for is actually commissioning health, or rather, I'll put it a better way. It's got an important function in planning Māori healthcare services and commissioning those services and monitoring and performance of the operation of the health system for Māori. Very important functions. It's a dedicated agency for that purpose.
Right, and how do you see the function of this agency being different from what has previously been the status quo?
I think the difference is a structural separation in order to give it a greater, sharper focus. I think that the voice of Māori within the health bureaucracy at a national level, at least, had always been there, but in a much more muted form and within an existing agency, particularly the Ministry of Health. Now, they did good stuff, but they didn't have the sufficient status and influence and structural and statutory influence that the new authority has. And I think it's a good thing that this authority does have that.
And what do you say as sort of the main potential benefits of this authority having these new powers?
Well, I think the most immediate benefit will be that improving Māori access to good quality community health care, and so in general practice, in other agencies, non-government organisations that provide primary health care, community health, but access, improving access, because access is a big issue. If you deny access, you deny health care. And a plus to that is that if that happens, it will mean that more Māori will be referred to the hospital system for treatment or diagnosis where they need it. But they need that early intervention, access to that early intervention first. That in broad terms, ensuring that there is equitable access to quality healthcare is an essential role. I personally would like to see it take an additional role of advocacy of the social determinants of health, which are the biggest driver of healthcare, health demand, and also health cost to the system. And that's things like low incomes, living in poverty, poor housing, limited educational opportunities. Now, they're not matters that the health system, the Māori Health Authority or the wider health system can solve. They can mitigate somewhat, but they should be advocating to government, in my view, the need to take necessary measures to address poverty, to address poor housing, to address those other social determinants of health, to address low incomes. They need to be advocating that. They can't fix it, but they can advocate it to other government agencies and to the government itself.
And just rewinding a bit, I do definitely want to talk about your point there with regards to them being advocates for social determinants of health. But I would also just like you to describe what it means for Māori to have better access to healthcare services. What does that look like on the ground?
It looks like regardless of whether they're living in a rural community, provincial or urban, that they will have the same access to see a general practitioner, to see a nurse, as the rest of New Zealanders do have outside Pacifica. So the same as Pākehā, European New Zealanders, whatever you like to describe them. So their access will be the same. The net result of that should be that if the access is the same and throughout the system, and it's to quality health care, then they will have similar outcomes to the rest of the population.
With regards to the relationship between Māori and access and social determinants of health care, Do you think it's the correct move to be prioritising Māori access? And do you think that there's a multitude of issues going on here with regards to social determinants? Or do you think that there has been the neglect of certain components of these problems?
I think there has been neglect. I don't think it's necessarily been deliberate neglect. But we come from a very colonial history where there was a lot of deliberate neglect or indifference to neglect. Now, that's become less and less deliberate over the years, but it has still been ingrained there unconsciously. So I think that we've got to simply recognise that. Now, it is true, and I've made that point in something else I've written on the subject, that most people living in, it is mainly Pākehās, who, more Pākehās, quite decisively, live in poverty than Māori. But the difference is that Māori is disproportionately represented amongst those living in poverty. So if you actually take the measures to address social determinants of health for Māori, the practical effect of that is that you're actually doing it for Pākehā as well, because social determinants affect everybody. It's just that they affect Māori disproportionately higher.
And do you think there are cultural factors at play here as well, in terms of, like you say, that colonial history, that I guess is, as well as having that correlation, as you say, in terms of being more present in terms of lower socioeconomic groups, cause lower access and cause a poorer relationship between the healthcare system and Māori?
Oh, I think it's generally recognised, including by many health professionals and those working and others working in the health system, that there has been a cultural bias against Māori. Doesn't mean it's a conscious one, a deliberate one. No one's deliberately being racist and saying that these people should not have access or should go to the end of the queue. But there has been a lack of appreciation of the way a particular ethnic group, in this case our Indigenous population, looks at things culturally. So their approach in thinking about things like the relationship with land and the concept of whānau are different from Pākehā. They're not better necessarily, or arguably they could be, but they're not worse, but they're different. And I think that there is a cultural bias that affects the ability of non-Māori health professionals and health organisations to fully appreciate that.
And just bringing it back again to the Māori Health Authority itself, so do you see this new authority as being something that is capable of changing that bias?
I support the formation of the of the authority. As I said, it's a good move in the right direction. But I think it would be wrong to see it as a magic bullet. Once people talk about a new structure being a magic bullet to solve something or implying that, it generally means it hasn't got a dog show. The other thing is that it's not structural change that drives health systems improvement, it's cultural change. And so just simply creating a structure is not enough. If the structure simply replicates the existing leadership culture of our health system, which is very top-down and bureaucratic, then it will not succeed. It's got to break out of that and make sure that's not the case. If it starts getting didactic in the way it advocates things and, you know, morally instructive to people, that will also be a turn-off. So it'll be the way they communicate that's also important. If it gives reinforces the notion that I think is misplaced, if it reinforces a misplaced notion that 17% of the population are controlling 50% of healthcare or the health budget, that will be a label that will help. But once you get a label like that, it's very hard to shake it off. So it's important that the culture, wider culture of the health system actually becomes much more engaging than it is now, and much more bottom-up. And it's important that the way people describe things and the language used is reaching out to people rather than turning them off.
And so do you see the main opportunities for the Māori Health Authority to do that in working with local groups like iwi groups and statutory boards and so on? Or where else do you see the opportunities for this to occur?
Well, I certainly see that, and that will be important. But I also see it as extending down to hapū and whānau as well, because that's also important. Iwi is a very big organisation, not necessarily always that grassroots because of their size. And a lot of the things that happen in the organisation is much more at a hapū level. So that will be important. It's really drilling down into the more regional, if you like, or tribal structures, into that, but down below that as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.